It's good to be with you guys here at your 10:45 service. We've had a wonderful weekend together with you here at Coos. What a joy to be with you guys on this weekend, talking about missions and just getting to gather together with like-minded people in the kingdom. Aren't you thankful that the kingdom of God is so big and that God is moving all over our nation? There are so many great churches, you know, with such a legacy, and we count Coos as one of those. Of course, your pastor's a great blessing to us. We serve together on many national initiatives, some by choice, some we've been forced into, and serve together in Love Singapore. And of course, our churches have worked together for many, many years. So we're really thankful to just be here this morning. I do want to honor Pastor Daniel as well as Aline. And I want you to give them a hand clap. Come on, they're great, great man and woman of God. And I know they're a great blessing to you. Your church has been a great blessing to Singapore as well as to our church. We count this as not some other church, but we're all part of the same family together, and we count you as family today. I brought a few of my family with me. My wife Carissa is here, and she'll give you a wave so you know she's the Ang Mo on the front row. And I got a picture of the rest of them. The kids are terrorizing your children's ministry now. Everyone just intercede. Take a moment and intercede for the children's workers. This is our family. We have four kids. I wanted two kids. Carissa wanted three kids. We had four kids. And thank you, Jesus. So my eldest son, Caleb, is turning 17 next month. My daughter, Megan, is 14, going on 23. And my third son, Ethan, is 10 years old. And my youngest, Luke, just turned three. He just turned three. So that's our family. We have two blonde-haired kids. I'm not sure how that happened, but they're both ours. They're from us. DNA checked and everything. And, you know, when Carissa was pregnant with Caleb, our first son, I kept telling her, you know, I hope our baby's blonde. She said, babe, there's no chance. I have brown hair. You have brown hair. Our parents have dark hair. But I said, yeah, but what if he was a blonde? But wouldn't that be cool if he was a blonde baby? And then it was like an emergency C-section. So she was out under general anesthesia, and I was sitting there waiting. They rolled the baby in, blonde hair, because the Lord rewards the faithfulness of his servants. So, hey, God's a miracle-working God. Listen, I came to preach to you, not just to tell you stories about my family, although some of you seem pretty excited about this. So I need to make this somehow spiritual before we leave. I want to talk to you about missions today. This is your Mission Sunday. I know you've already got involvement in the nations, and I've heard many, many things about what God has done through Coos all these years. I know we've worked together in the Love Timor project in East Timor, and you have fruit there in Bobonaro. I know that you have work in India and Japan and probably many other nations. But I want to come and just kind of come alongside and just encourage you in what I believe God is speaking to you this weekend. And I want to talk to you about the God of more. Everybody say more. I believe, oh, that was kind of like post-pandemic more. Let's go back to the pre-pandemic responsiveness of church. Everybody say more. All right. I believe that even with everything God has done, he still has more that he desires to do. And I want to read you a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8. Matthew 7, verse 7 and verse 8. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus speaks these words right at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's kind of given the framework for what the kingdom of God will look like, as well as the expectation of what believers are going to live like. And at the end, he gives this challenge, ask and it'll be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. We usually teach this in the context of prayer, which is not wrong. It's true. It's a great prayer scripture and encourages us to seek God and continually seek him. But I do think that sometimes we take this as a bit of a burden when it's actually a promise and a revelation. Sometimes we can feel like God challenging us. If you don't keep asking, I'm not going to give you. If you don't keep seeking, I'm not going to. And there is something about persistence. I'm not saying that's not. But what I want us to see in this morning is the great promise
And the great revelation in this, that Jesus actually invites us in saying, listen, God has more for your life. God has more for us. And if we would ask, he's more than ready to answer. If we would seek, we would find him. If we would knock, he would open doors. And you could say it this way, because it's not that we haven't received anything. Not that we haven't asked for anything, but Jesus challenges, and he's basically saying, look, ask and it'll be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. I would phrase it this way, for everyone who asks receives more, and to the one who seeks he finds more, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened even more. And I believe even now God would open a greater door to the nations for your house, a greater door to the harvest in the nations for this church as we ask of him, as we seek him. Why? Because he is the God of more. And Jesus starts to stir our faith in this. He starts to stir our expectation that if we could understand how much God has, we wouldn't shy away from asking. If we could understand how much greater his plan is, we wouldn't shy away from seeking and pursuing him, knocking on those doors, because he actually always has more than enough for everything that he's put in our heart. And when I catch that he has more, that means there's a challenge for me that I should begin to believe for more. I should begin to pray, come on, for more. I should begin to expect more. And I believe really missions and Mission Sunday is about this idea that there is still more in the nations. Come on, somebody say amen. There is still more that God wants to do in the nations of this earth. There are still people that he's drawing and churches being established and lives that are being changed. There is still more to be done. That is the mandate. And when you know that there's more, you just act a little bit differently. When you know that there's something else coming on the horizon, it actually changes the way you respond. It changes the way you act or think. I was telling yesterday's service, you know, if you've watched any of the Marvel superhero movies, this phenomenon happens at the end of the movie. You go watch Spider-Man at the end, the credits start rolling, and half of the cinema gets up to leave, and half of them don't move because there's more. There's some little after credit scene, and the half that get up to leave realize the other half are still sitting, and you see people nervously looking around, and then some of them sheepishly come back and find their seat because they go, we better wait. I think there's actually more at the end of this movie, and it changes the way that you act or respond. Are you with me today? Wasn't it a great thing when the measures were relaxed in Singapore and suddenly you could gather with, you know, 10, and now, without number, multitudes can eat together. And everybody's thinking the same thing in Singapore. What are we eating first? Where are we going to eat? Some of you aren't even listening to what I'm saying right now. You're already planning your lunch. And there was time for that. But just for a moment, let's be spiritual, right? But as in Singapore, we're all about the food and thinking, where can I eat? Where can I go? Maybe you finally got to gather with, you know, your family for the first time for a big family meal. And aren't those things wonderful? You know, we have 6 of us in our family, so we haven't been able to eat out like almost the entire pandemic. We were so happy when the measures got released. Like, I can finally go to a hawker stall just with my family. Like, don't even worry about friends. And you begin to go out and enjoy that. And don't you know what it's like when you go to your mother's house, your grandmother's house, they bring out all your favorite dishes, right? Some kind of reunion dinner, family celebration. And you start just picking out all the stuff that you love to eat that you haven't been able to enjoy in a long time. Are you with me? Some of you, I can see the anointing touching you right now. Just feeling the presence of God as you start dreaming about food. And you start picking it up. I mean, come on. Second helpings, third helpings. I'll have some of this. Pass that down or whatever. Give me a little more. And inevitably, after you've eaten your full, I mean, you've already sinned. And you've eaten more than you should have, and you can barely move, someone will come out and say these magic words, who's ready for dessert? Right? And you go, oh, if I only knew, I mean, if I knew there was more, I would have saved space. I would have made room. I wouldn't have eaten so much. I would have thought differently if I knew more was coming. I can't fit any more inside of me, except being a good Singaporean, you do fit it in somehow. you just make room for the dessert and cram it in there. My dad always said there are two pockets in a believer spans. One is for the tithes and offerings, and there's a different pocket, a different wallet for missions. And it gives differently. And I believe we also have two stomachs for the main food, and then there's one for the dessert, right? It's different. Come on, when you know there's more, we think, we act differently. And I believe that especially when it comes to the nations, we need to have a more mentality, a different perspective. God, you have more. I'm going to pray different. I have faith believing for more. I just believe a little different. God, I expect things coming on the horizon because I know that, God, you don't just do more. You are the God of more. Are you hearing me this morning? This is who he is. It's his character. He never hits the limit. He never hits a moment when he has to repeat himself or underperform. God always exceeds limitations. And this whole moment we have now, thinking about this idea of the nations, is predicated on the idea that God is the God of more. And when I understand who he is and what he's capable of, when I live in the revelation of how great God is, I can't help but believe for more. Can you say amen? So I want to just share with us four thoughts this morning before we go about the God of more. Four revelations about him that tell us what this means that he's the God of more. How do we know him as the God of more? And what is the implication of our life? The first thing that we understand about God that tells us he's the God of more is that there is more to him. No matter how long I've known him, no matter how long I've been a believer, whether this is your first week in church or you've known him 30, 40 years or longer, how many of you know there is always more to God? Isn't it wonderful to worship him and come into his presence and sit here today, or maybe you're tuning in at home, and yet even though I've known him, I can experience him in a fresh way. This morning, I experience God in a fresh way as we stand there in worship. There is more to God. I never reach the end of who he is. And he's constantly revealing more of himself to me. There is more. At the end of 2021, you know, the borders were finally opening, and Carissa and I talked about maybe we should get the family, you know, out of town somewhere and just get a break. We hadn't had a break really in a couple years. It was pretty intense. And so I had some meetings in Florida for our global missions team and thought, let's bring the whole family there. And so we did some vacation time together, and we ended up at Disney World, all right, the happiest place on earth. And so we were there going crazy, lining up, paying way too much money for food and standing in lines. And there's you know, six of us. So every kid wants to go a different direction. Luke was just like 2.5, and we were doing long days. And when you've been at Disneyland for 13 hours with a 2.5-year-old, you will fully understand why some animals eat their young. A different side of you comes out. And the happiest place on earth, not always the happiest if you're a parent of toddlers and small kids. You suddenly realize why naps are so important. And that's why I don't wake up people when they sleep while I'm preaching. You might really need your nap, you know? And we get there and we would line up for some ride. I remember lining up for this Mickey Mouse ride, and it was outdoor. It's kind of cold that day, and the line looked like maybe like 45 minutes in line, but we thought we can handle it. We can do it. And so we lined up in the line, and, you know, we just try to kill time and entertain the kids. And halfway through, someone's got to go to the toilet, and you bring them and then jump back in line. And we finally got to the end of the line, and finally you walk through the door, and there's this relief like, oh, finally it's the end. But when you walk through the door, you have a revelation that there is another line after the line. And now there's a line inside. Oh my gosh. So there's another 20, 30 minute line. Okay, we snake around the line, sit there, watch a cartoon. Oh, finally. And then we walk through a door into the ride, and another revelation. There's still another line. And this happened like 4 or 5 times. Every time you turn the corner, and they're so sneaky, sneaky little mouse. They hide the line. It's always just beyond your sight, so it never looks as bad as it is. And you keep turning the corner and realizing there is more to this than I thought there was. There is more to this than I understood. Well, can I tell you spiritually that God is like that? There is more to Him than what I know. There is more to Him than what we have experienced. There is more to Him, and when your life turns a corner and you get around this season and to a different season, I'm telling you, you can experience God in a brand new way. There is more to Him. All through Scripture, there are names for God. And these names for God really are given in moments of revelation. Abraham declares, the Lord will provide. He's a provider. He has a revelation. God, you can provide miraculously what no one else can provide. David declares, God, you are the Lord of the breakthrough. He experienced a breakthrough. And he says, God, I experience you in a new way. I've never experienced you like this before. Jacob begins to declare, not only is this the house of God, he says, God, you are the God of the house. You are the one that leads me out and brings me in and brings me into your presence. And you know, in your life and my life, God calls us to new places so that we can know Him more. He calls us to new places. Maybe you feel stirred in this season, or maybe today you'll feel stirred to get involved in the nations or in missions more. That can be scary. You go, I don't know what that means. I don't know what stepping out of my comfort zone looks like. But do you know God calls us to new places in our life so we have a new experience in Him, so we understand Him more deeply? That means I may be going through a rough time or a stretching time, and yet I can know God. Carissa and I have been married for 21 years this June, next month, about a month from now. It'll be 21 years that we've been married. And you know, when we first got together, we experienced God right at the beginning of our marriage in incredible ways. And all through seasons, we experienced Him in different ways. When we first got together, we had just graduated from Bible school, and we prayed. I was heading back to Singapore to work in the church here, and we felt God tell us, get married now. And so I said, listen, we need to have a little meeting here. We should get married, and we better do a financial analysis. And I said, look, the Bible says two are one, and we should really combine our resources. So how much do you have? She said, I have $3,000. She asked me, how much do you have? I said, well, I have $50. And so I said, the good news is together we have $3,050. And so thank God how He provides. His provision for me was a little more than His provision for her, but, you know, He provides. And so we began to pray, but, you know, seriously speaking, we just got married by faith. God, we don't know where the money's coming from. We don't know where this is. And we just trusted God, and He brought in miracle after miracle, contact after contact. In fact, we ended on our honeymoon after we had paid everything. We weren't in debt. We didn't owe anyone any money, opened all the wedding cards and whatever, and we ended with like $3,000, the same $3,000 we started with. Praise the Lord. And God provided. Experienced Him in a new way. But then when we got to Singapore together, we had to experience Him in a new dimension. Now we're ministering. Now we're stepping into calling and purpose and things that the Holy Spirit's spoken to us about and promises He made long ago. And we got to begin to contend for some things in the Spirit that we feel like God has spoken to us. And we began to experience Him fulfilling promises and leading us in our calling. And then we started having kids, and we experienced God in a new dimension with our family. I remember a time that we lost a child, and Chris had a miscarriage, and we had to come together and experience God's comfort and His healing in our hearts in difficult times and experience Him in a brand new way. My son, Ethan, who's 10 now, he's up in your children's program somewhere, when he was just 6 years old, was diagnosed with an incurable disease. They said it was going to be for life. It would never stop. Really terrible report. And we began to pray. And in 3 days, God healed him completely. He's never had a relapse, totally better. And we experience God as a miraculous healer in our family. In every season, God begins to reveal Himself, show Himself, and He calls us to new places so that we can know Him more. Are you hearing me today? Amen. So listen, your life and my life, we're not meant to be stuck. We're not meant to just stay in the same position or settle in our own struggles. There is more that God has for us because there is more to Him. And He calls us out of our position. He calls us out even into nations. He calls us out to faith and believe Him. Why? Because He's the God of more. And there is more to Him, but secondly, there is more to His kingdom. There is more to His kingdom. Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of His kingdom and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Of the increase of His kingdom, not just of His kingdom, but of the growth and expansion of there always being more to the kingdom, there will be no end. There is more to this kingdom. It will never end. It will never stop. It will never cease. And so what does that mean? It means the kingdom is always growing. It always grows and expands. It is always taking ground. I mean, you think about the way the gospel has moved, in our nation, right here in Singapore, over the years, to see what God has done through generations. I was talking with my grandfather, Pastor Fred Seward, before he died. And he was sharing with me, he said a profound thing. He said when he came to Singapore, I think it was 1955, he said there were seven Spirit-filled people in Singapore at that time. He knew who they were. You could count them. That was mind-blowing to me. And I don't know if they walked around with a special lanyard or what, but somehow they knew these are all the people that were Spirit-filled. And you think about how God has moved all these years in our nation and the revival that's come. And you look at now what God has done. Wow, how the kingdom has grown. Come on, amen. How the kingdom has expanded. It grows. It lasts. This kingdom is a lasting kingdom. It will never end. Of the increase. If you want to put your life into something that counts, you put your life in the kingdom. If I want to give myself to something that lasts, I give it to the kingdom. There are many things that don't last in this world, right? Some of your investments don't last. Some of your ideas, they don't last. Some of your hobbies and interests don't last. If you ever started an aquarium hobby and you're one of those people that now has 18 fish tanks that are empty in your storeroom, you don't know what to do with it, that doesn't always last, but the kingdom of God lasts. It endures. It overcomes every obstacle and resistance and is taking ground. And so this is what we are to be focused on because this is eternal, because this is something I can count on. And when I understand, wow, God, you have, there's more to you, but there's also more to your kingdom. And I can actually live my life engaged in the kingdom of God. Engaged in this thing that is lasting and growing all around the world. This is the call to the nations. God, you're growing a kingdom in East Timor. God, you're growing your kingdom in Japan. Amen. You're growing your kingdom in India and in South America and in Europe and China. Father, everywhere around the world, your kingdom is growing and expanding. I was telling the first service, you know, during the 2 years of the heavy part of the pandemic in 2020, 2021, in our church world, in VFC, around the world, 291 new churches started. In a moment when everyone felt stuck, how many of you know God is never stuck? The kingdom continues to grow and expand. That is who God is. He's the God of more. There's more to Him. There's more to His kingdom. Amen. Thirdly, there is more in the harvest. There is more in the harvest. How do we know God as the God of more? Well, there's more to Him, there's more to the kingdom, but there is also more in the harvest. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 9:37, He said to His disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask Him to send more workers into His field. He goes, the harvest is great. It is big. It is expansive. There is no lack in the harvest. You don't have to try to convince God, oh God, please let there be a harvest. He says, there is a harvest. It's a great harvest of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. You read the book of Revelation, multitudes, no one could number. They are going to come before the throne of God. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. There's more in the harvest. In other words, there are still lives God desires to change. There are still revivals that God has yet to bring on this earth that he's going to bring. There are still people that are going to come to know him, churches that are going to be established, legacy that's going to be built because God has more in the harvest. And he's saying there's more harvest than there are workers. There is so much more in the harvest. And I declare to you boldly, listen, even for you today in Church of Our Savior, there is more that God has in the nation of East Timor for you. There is more that he has in Japan. I know you've got a great missionary in Osaka right now. There's more that he has in Japan. I know Pastor Daniel's daughter is in Tokyo, and so he feels super called to do a lot of missions work there just so he can see his daughter more often and call it a ministry expense. Come on. But I believe there's more that God has in the nations for this house. If God has more in the harvest, he's got more for us to do. And I think we need to live in the reality of that and say, God, how can we step into this? The harvest is so great. How can I be a part of this? How can I get engaged in prayer for it? How can I go? God, how can I support it and encourage it? And I challenge you. I told the earlier service, if you're a student thinking about exchange, please don't go to Europe. Please don't go to America. Don't exchange anywhere else. Don't go to Turkey. Please do your exchange in Japan and help us see a harvest come in the nation of Japan. God will use you. He will stir you. He will bring the harvest in. And there are nations that God is calling. There is more in the harvest. You know, our church, of course, has been engaged in church planting and missions for longer than I've been alive. And we send out teams of lay people from our church, just ordinary members that commit to a year, and they'll train in Singapore for 2 or 3 months and then go out to the mission field for about 9 months, 10 months, and witness to people and disciple them, start cell groups, services, plant a church, and come back. And then the team leader will stay maybe another year or two just to establish the work, and they'll raise a lay pastor, some local pastor, and then they will come back to Singapore as well. And years ago, we sent a team to Papua New Guinea, and they got finished training. They were about to leave for Papua New Guinea, and just before they left, they had such difficulty getting their visa. And so it became so bad, we realized we can't send them. There's just no way that they have a visa to go in. And so they were redirected to Perth, Australia, to help our church there. And time just kept ticking on, but they've got this one-year commitment. And by the time they received the visa for Papua New Guinea, they only had 3 months left of their missions commitment. And so the church felt like, no, you know what? We told them and had this vision of going to Papua New Guinea. Let's just get in there. And so we sent them in. They did the best they could, but honestly couldn't accomplish very much because just 3 months on the field. Now they've gone. Now it's just the pastor there and his wife alone working for the next year or so and trying to raise up the church. And they had just a couple of, you know, cell groups, some small work. And it wasn't very encouraging. It didn't look like there was much going to happen. But I'm here to tell you, God always has more in the harvest. And just before the pastor returned, a few months before, this couple got saved, kind of radically saved, and God had his hand on their life. They seemed to just grow so quickly and were so, engaged in the ministry, and they really felt like God tell them this couple should take the church. And so they installed them as the pastors, prayed over them, came back to Singapore. And this couple just began to work in the harvest, and God began to move. And from that one small work, and this couple that just by faith was installed in, right now, that church in Papua New Guinea has planted. They have over 22 churches now all around the capital in Papua New Guinea. Over 1,500 people have come to know Jesus and are in the church right now. They are still planting churches all through the pandemic today. They probably have more churches than this right now. Why? Because God has more in the harvest than even what we understand. Amen? Isn't that cool? You know, think about Timor. You know, your church was involved in the Love Timor project in the early 2000s. We were part of that. And churches all over Singapore were challenged with a prophetic word that Singapore churches should be responsible for the transformation of East Timor. And so missionaries began to go in to plant churches and do social work. And incredible. It's still in world missions unprecedented to this day that every major denomination in Singapore was represented in East Timor in part of this Love Timor project. No one has ever seen like this in planet Earth. And the fruit is unbelievable. And I know you've had work there for many, many years. And can I tell you, it was very hard, very difficult. The infrastructure's lacking. The place was very hostile, hard to preach the gospel, a lot of persecution, hard hearts, lack of unity in the churches, you name it, they were facing it. We sent 13 church planting teams in, and most returned with very little fruit. But they began to continue working together with the different Love Timor churches and leadership and doing training of new leaders and just reaching out. And over time, what has happened in the nation of East Timor is unbelievable. That today there are churches from this Love Timor project. So from Singapore missionaries going in, there are churches in every district of East Timor now. There are churches not only in every district, but in every sub-district of East Timor now. And there are churches now in over 50% of the villages of East Timor. So not just a district, but in every, over 50% have a church from this Love Timor project, not from other groups and leaders. That is what God can do because there is more in the harvest. Can you say amen? Come on, isn't that awesome? I got to tell you one more. I'm running out of time, but I got to give you one more story. I want to talk to you about Japan. The time that we launched Love Timor, actually shortly after that, God began to speak to the leadership team at the time in Love Singapore about Japan as well as the next nation. And we've launched the Love Japan vision since about 2018. And it was talked about really in like 2004, I believe, but officially launched just in 2018. And through the Love Singapore network of churches, we've challenged churches in Singapore to reach Japan heavily through church planting, because the primary need in Japan is not more schools and not more hospitals. It is actually more churches. Less than 1% born again believers. Many people say 1%, but that includes many other types of Christianity that probably aren't really believers. So you probably say less than 1%. And there's such a need for churches there. And so we've launched into this by faith, you know, and I'm involved with kind of leading the charge on Japan. When my father was supposed to do it, and he left me to do all the work. He's in heaven laughing, having a vacation, and I'm down here sweating. And so when he suddenly passed away, Pastor Lawrence Kong asked, would I lead this? I said, okay, I mean, I can lead it. I just don't know what I'm doing. But if you're okay following someone that doesn't know what they're doing, that's fine. I'm willing. But we believe there's just more that God has in Japan. We really believe that. God, you've got more in the harvest. Believe there's a new generation. God, we believe there's a new open door. God, we believe there's something you're doing in Japan. And so the vision was to see churches all through Japan planted from Singapore churches, and we target 20 cities in Japan. We can show them to you. So 20 major cities. And this would be the starting point to get into every region of Japan. These are places that are strategic cities, influential cities in Japan. There's universities there. They've got a whole new generation of Japanese young people that have a different mindset, different heart. They love even speaking English. I mean, it's a whole different world in Japan right now. And so we began focusing and challenging churches to reach these cities. And you guys have been a part of that. I've got to work with Vanaja. I've got to work with Esther. I don't know where Esther is. Is she hiding here somewhere? Maybe she came to the other service. And we're working together in it. From VSC, we've targeted to start 24 churches there. And so we're planning to start 24 churches. These will be where we're starting churches in Japan. In fact, we've already, by the end of this year, would have sent 13 church planting teams into Japan. We right now have 6 on the ground. We've already sent 4 before that. There's 3 more by the end of the year. Show them these missionaries. Aren't these good-looking Singaporean missionaries? And so 6 of these teams are on the ground right now. 4 have already come, and 3 more by the end of the year. And then we're continuing to send every year missionaries in. Now, let me tell you about these current ones. I just came back from Japan, and I was so encouraged. And I want to challenge you. God is doing something new in Japan. We went to visit our 6 teams, and these 6 teams are very unique. They started training in 2021 when borders looked like they were opening. And same thing, right when they got ready to go, the borders shut. And everyone was so discouraged and so frustrated. And we were going to send them to other nations, send them to open nations that it's easy to get visas, or they speak English, so they probably would end up in Africa or some developing world countries where it's easy to enter. But as we prayed, we decided, you know what? God, you gave us a word for Japan. And, you know, these teams have been praying for Japan and thinking about Japan and planning, like, maybe we should just step out in faith and believe that, God, you can still bring a harvest in Japan. Even if it looks like the border's shut, the kingdom doesn't stop, we think you've got a harvest in Japan. And so we told our teams, we're going to keep you focused on Japan, but 100% online. You'll be in Singapore, full-time missionaries, 9 to 5. They've quit their jobs. They're out of uni, and they're just going to be fully dedicated to reaching Japan, but 100% online. Now, we've never done anything like this in VFC. Don't know anything about it. We kind of just stumbled into it, but God began to move. And so they started doing online English exchanges. If you could show that on the slide, that'll help. They started just through social media platforms in Japan doing English exchanges and asking people to come in and speak English. They were popular. Some of our English exchanges are almost famous now in Tokyo. These are the very popular ones. 50 people, 70 people sometimes come into these. They love it. And they would do breakout rooms and get to talk one-on-one with different people or two-on-one. And many would be open to give them their personal contact. Here's my phone number. Here's my line ID, my Instagram. Now they have a personal connection with this person. So this isn't random. They personally know them. And they would then invite them to an online, like a cell group outreach, like a smaller outreach. They do some kind of theme night, some reason to gather, and they would preach the gospel at these outreaches. Here's some of our online connect group outreaches. Can we go back to that? Yeah, there we go. The one with the pig and the bear, yeah. So these are some of the online connect group outreaches. Incredible. People would come in, share the gospel, and they begin to make disciples and see people saved in Japan from here in Singapore. We launched an online Japanese service, 100% online from here, with our returned missionaries doing recording bilingual worship right here in Singapore in Japanese and English, and our missionary in Japan recording the sermon. And then we edit it, put it online, and they would host watch parties. And all the missionaries are here in Singapore, but they're in the chats speaking to people in Japan, Japanese people there, and connecting them to know Jesus. This is unprecedented, right? And so we got into this not understanding, not sure what we could even expect. And it felt like it was so many roadblocks, but I just want to encourage you, God has more in the harvest. At the end of 6 months, these online Japan teams, listen, in the place everybody says it's impossible. In the place everybody said it doesn't work and churches die. In the place that everybody said you can't have visas, you can't go in. At 6 months in, there were over 3,000 contacts that they made, personal contacts, over 80 salvations. They launched 13 cell groups in Japan purely online. And a month ago, they got their visas and went in, and they were welcomed by disciples that already knew Jesus, by contacts that were so excited to see them, throwing welcome parties for them. I was just with them, and God is moving in Japan. Come on, isn't that awesome? Now, this is not through career missionaries or people that have it all figured out. This is just regular people like you and I, lay people in the church giving their life. This is, we built a building there. This is the most amazing part. Built a building, never saw it. I met the architect in February 2020. I never came back until May 2022, right? So in the 2 years, they built a whole building that we never saw. And now our Tokyo church is there. They had 55 people there on Sunday. Let me tell you, 2 years ago, I went in and did an outreach. When we gave the altar call, people were crying and weeping and giving their heart to Jesus. In Japan. Come on, in Japan. And just wait. And at the end, this time when I went back to preach at their outreach, the one interpreting on stage was the girl that was weeping behind in the outreach. She's a cell group leader now. She's a leader in the church, building the church, and interpreting on stage. The other interpreter didn't even know Jesus yet then, and now he's a core leader and interpreting in the church. God has more in the harvest than we understand. Can you say amen? Come on, amen. Isn't that awesome? Now listen, I hope that encourages you. I'm not saying this just for numbers to kind of, you know, pump up anything we're doing. It's not about that. But I want to give you context and I want to encourage you because there is more that God has in the harvest and we get so limited, but God always has more. He is the God of more. There is more to Him. There's more to His kingdom. There is more in the harvest. And as the worshiping comes, the last thing I want you to understand is that He calls us to work in the more. This is where He calls us. This is where He challenges us. He says, go into all the world and make disciples. Go without explanation, without detail. Just go. Where should we go? Go. Go where? Into all the world. Every country. Yeah. He calls us into the unknown. He calls us into the miraculous. He calls us into faith, into that realm. He calls us to work in the more. That is the Great Commission. That is the call of missions. And you go, but how does it work in my family? How will it line up in my life? I'm not sure what I could do. How could I be an impact? God, what could we do in Japan from here? We try to figure it out, but God just says, I'm calling you into the more. I'm calling you into a dimension of faith to trust me and believe me. And that call is to step into more, to new nations, to greater harvest, to new levels of the miraculous. And I want to encourage you today that as much as you've seen God move in the nations through this house, that you would begin to stir up your faith and believe, God, we believe there's more. You're not done. In fact, you're just beginning. There are more doors that you're going to open, Jesus. Lord, we believe there's more people you're going to call. There are more churches you're going to establish, more missionaries that will go out, more testimonies of miracles that you've done. The greatest legacy and stories, I believe, that will come from this house would come from this next season as you step into the more. But what does that mean for us? It means each of us being willing to step into new territory. Maybe you've never been personally engaged in the nations. Step into something new. Maybe you've never personally been engaged praying for, supporting, encouraging missionaries, giving toward that. Maybe you've never been on a missions trip before or been open to step into that. Would you step into new territory today? To work in the more means to make a fresh commitment. God, I know you've called. I mean, even when Jesus calls his disciples, go make disciples. It's not the first call. They're already following Jesus. But that was a fresh commitment. Lord, in a new way, we're committed to fulfill this commission. In a new way, we're committed to step into what you have and have a new level of faith. This is what God is calling us to. Can we have faith that God has more in the harvest? Can we have faith that he's not done moving in the nations? Hey, listen, can we have faith that God would use us? Sometimes we believe, God, I believe you're going to touch nations. I just think you're going to do it through someone else. But can we have faith that God would use us? That a simple step of faith, a simple moment of surrender, just simply saying, God, I believe you, could have an impact for eternity. Hey, he is the God of more. And I believe he's going to give everything that's needed for this house. I believe he's opening wide doors of influence and opportunity, doors to the nations for this house. But each of us have a moment right now where we just can respond to him and say yes to him. Are you with me today? Come on, are you with me today? If you believe it, give God a hand clap of praise, would you? Amen. Amen. Listen, I want to pray. I want to pray and I want us to make a commitment and just say, God, we say yes. Lord, we want to step into the more together. God, we want to step into nations together. But before we do that, I want to pray for anyone, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You're not a Christian. And by that, I mean you might have gone to church before. It could be your first time. But you've never made a personal decision, a personal commitment to invite Jesus into your life and to ask him to forgive your sins. If you've never made a commitment like that, I want to pray for you. And I believe today you can experience his reality in your life, whether you're in person or online. And so in just a second, this is what's going to happen. I want to pray for you, and I'm going to ask you at the count of three to lift up your hand, just simply so I know who I'm praying for. We're going to pray together and God is going to touch your life. If you're online, you respond at the count of three. Just say, you're just saying yes. Type yes in the chat. We'll know we're praying for you today. Can we do this together? Can we all close our eyes? And if this is what you need, I want you to respond at the count of three. Here we go. One, with every eye closed and no one looking around. Come on, it doesn't matter who sees you or who doesn't or who else is doing it. This is your decision today. Two, with no hesitation, no holding back. Don't try to push this off or think it's for someone else. Today, God is calling you, and I want to ask you to make this moment count. Are you ready? Here we go. Three, just put your hand up right now if that's you. Say, yes, that's me. Pray for me. Thank you. Others today, thank you. I see you in the back. Just say, yes, I want this. Pray for me. Come on, just slip your hand up and put it down. If you're online, type in the chat. God is calling you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Then I want us to pray right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm just going to ask you to repeat it, but you make it your prayer today. Mean it with your heart. God's going to hear you. And we're going to pray along with you to encourage you. Can we all pray this together? Just say this right out loud. Say, Jesus, I know that I need you, and I want you in my life. Will you forgive me for every sin? Wipe my past away. And make me a new person. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died for me. You rose again. And right now, you're living in my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in me. Today, I give my heart to you. And I make you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? Come on, let's thank him. If you believe what you prayed, God heard you. And I want to encourage you, listen, before you leave today, you come up to the front, find one of the pastors, talk to them about this prayer that you prayed. They're going to help you. Church, can we respond? I believe God is speaking. He has more for us. Our job is just to respond. Our job is to say yes. Our job is to receive that revelation of how great he is and that great harvest that he has. He would desire to use us to touch the nations. And can I invite us to stand to our feet today in this moment? And the worship team is going to lead us in worship. And right where you are, I'm going to ask, can we just lift our hands to the Lord and begin to say, God, yes. Lord, yes, you're the God of more. Lord, there's more that you have for our life, more that you have for the kingdom, more for the nations. And we're just saying, yes, we want to be part of it. Come on, with hands lifted up, can we just worship him right now? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'll say yes. We'll follow you anywhere. I'll say yes. Come on, just sing it to him one more time. I'll say yes. God, we surrender to you.
I'll say yes.
Yes to your ways.
you, Jesus. We're going to sing this again in a moment, but I want to just open up the altar today. If you feel God stirring you to the nations, I believe there's a call right now to say yes to Him. You may not have it all mapped out. You might not know when or where or how, but you just know, God, You're calling me, You're speaking to me, and I want to say yes to You. It might be a longer commitment. It might be a short-term thing where you go out to nations. I believe there are some that God has already put a nation on your heart. I want to invite you to come up to the front as we begin to worship and respond. The pastoral team is going to join with you in prayer today. In fact, I really feel like there are some couples here. God is calling you as a couple. And it might not make sense to others around you. It might seem like a crazy move in the midst of family and career, but you know God is stirring you. Can I challenge you? Make this moment a moment of commitment. Make this moment a moment that you say yes. God is calling us into the more. So right now as we worship, would you move out from your seat if that's you and just come to the front so we can pray together today. Let's respond right now. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. That's right. Just come right now. If you know there's a stirring, you know God's speaking to you, just come and respond and let us pray together this morning. Let's worship a moment longer. I'll say yes. Lift your hands to the Lord as we pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You for Your promise that there is more to You. There is more that You have for us. And so, Father, we pray, God, let that revelation be so clear to us. Oh, give us faith for more in the harvest. Give us faith for more in the nations. Father, I pray You would, where there's a call, that You would begin to bring clarity and purpose. You would show Your timing, oh God, and the steps to take. Lord, I pray that You would just come, Lord, with Your anointing today to stir a fire for nations in our heart. God, we pray that You would just do the greatest work that we've seen, Lord, in the nations, through this house, in this next season. Open up more doors. Let there be more nations. Let there be multiplied churches. Father, we bless the missions work of this house. We bless the missionaries and pastors, Lord, and churches in the name of Jesus. Strengthen the work of their hands. Father, multiply the work of their hands. Oh, and God, we pray that You would cause within us for there to be such a willingness and openness, such a radical faith to trust You, to step into the more. Father, we just thank You for everything You are and everything You're doing. God, we rejoice in Your promise today. In Jesus' name we pray. Can everybody just say amen today? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Seward. I'm sure this message has touched many of our hearts. And I know that God has in place many things, many, many things more for all of us here. And especially if you are, you have prayed a prayer for the first time earlier on, you know, you have said yes to Jesus the first time around this time today, we would like to invite you to come forward later. We want to pray for you more, and we want to pray that God will touch you more and more. And even for all of us here today, right, I want to pray for us right now that we will experience a transformational thing in our lives from today moving onwards. Let me just pray. Father God, we want to really just welcome you into our hearts. The words that you have spoken, the targets that you have given in our hearts for the entire session today, in a sermon, in a service. Lord, we want to pray, God, that you multiply that sensing in our hearts. Do you really just want to seek you more and more? And so, Lord, I pray, God, that as we leave this place, Lord, would you just fill our hearts to really just pursue your will? And God, may you just give us the power to do everything that you have called us to do and experience you in the more. Right? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As service is over, we'll see you next week.